Hey, tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their teams.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back, All in One Sports fans. Jimmy B, Ricky O here. You see the title. Yeah, get your minds out of the gutter. We're talking hockey tonight. Pucks, the NHL season is here. It is back. Another edition, all Monday night hockey. It's a jam-packed edition of the show. Devils, Rangers, Preds, whatever you guys want to talk about. We're talking about it here. Ricky, good to be back, buddy. And by the way, love the wall.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Jimmy, it's been too long. This week, we got to make up some time, buddy.
We got to make up a lot of time. A lot of time. We got a lot of time to make up. And I just want to say again, one more time, I love your wall.
Thank you, brother. I got bored and I put my jerseys up because they were just getting crapped on sitting in storage. Wait till I show you the finished product. I'll send you some pictures in a couple of days.
All right, can't wait.
I would like to start the show off with a topic that I personally shocked myself with and almost could not bring myself to say, Jimmy, Jack Hughes is the best player in the NHL right now.
100%. 110% agree with
you. Now, you know I bleed red, white, and blue. I mean, I'm even wearing my Captain America Ranger shirt tonight for Igor Shesterkin. He's a true American hero. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I know he is in certain circles.
I've watched a lot of Devils hockey this year, and I watched a lot of Edmonton hockey, and I've watched a lot of Toronto, and Toronto has not impressed me at all. But I have to say that this young man is offensively the most gifted hands I have seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Would you say Alexei Kovalev hands?
Yeah, that's a really good comparison, to be honest with you. If he takes a 5-minute shift, we're going to start calling him Kobe, too.
Yeah, right?
If people don't know, when Mike Keenan was coaching the Rangers in 1994, Alexei Kovalev was a rookie, and he didn't understand about short shifts. And he missed two line changes, and Keenan refused to take him off the ice. He just kept telling him to stay. And Keenan was trying to teach him a lesson, and he took a 5-minute shift. And when I questioned him about it after the game, he said he loved every second of it and thought he was being rewarded for ice time. So, yeah, but Jackie Hughes, man, and his brothers, I'll tell you what, his brother could shoot the puck, man. I said this in the beginning of the year. The Rangers are going to be marginal. The Devils are going to be conference finals to Stanley Cup champions this year. And I really, really – I know they're kind of – they're 2-1-1 right now.
Slow start.
I wouldn't even say a slow start.
Well, no, slow starts to games. That's what I'm saying. I think their Islander game was their best start out of their five games that they've played. Being there against Detroit, seeing the other games as well, their starts were just not great in the first period. But again – they've given up, or four games, I should say. They've given up the first goal in the first four games. Still not ideal. But when you have a power play that's second to Detroit, I mean, like, that's ridiculous.
All, we'll get to Detroit in a minute.
But yeah, we will.
Their power play is lethal.
Yeah.
You know, they're so across the board even right now. They're 2-1-1, 5 points, 6.25 winning percentage, 15 goals for, 15 goals against. I mean, that's got to tilt in their favor soon.
And when I think so.
When it does, I think it's going to be a roll. I think the crowd has bought into this team already. I mean, Devil crowds have always been very – and I don't mean this offensive, Jimmy, as a fan. My father's a Devil fan. Devil fans are hit or miss. If they're winning,
big
they're
time.
There. If they're losing, they suck. This crowd this year, watching the games from – what is it called? The Rock now, whatever.
The Rock, yeah. Prudential Center, The Rock, yeah.
It's been, you know, through the TV, pretty raucous crowd.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Crowd. And I know you're there almost every game.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd is a lot better than it was. I mean, they still don't understand the game. I mean, but that's okay. I mean, let's be honest. All home fans want penalties called for their team, and every time a player goes down, it's a penalty. But hey, you know what? You know, that's what fans do. But look, they've been a lot better, but that's what winning does, right? I mean, it's not like the New York Rangers where it doesn't matter if they're losing. They're always going to have sellouts or the people will show up. The Devils have always been that team that just needs that be winning and the people will be there. And look, the team's bought in. They've done the rebuild right. Tom Fitzgerald's done things right. When you draft players like Nico Hischier and you draft a player like Jack Hughes, you have his brother there. Look, this team is what it is. And look, he's unbelievable. This kid, just put a piece up on Full Press Hockey. The kid should be a candidate for the Hart Trophy at the end of the year. There's no hands down about it. He should be a finalist. I don't understand why. You know, last year, I know PK Subban's been a guy clamoring for him too. Last year, yeah, 99 points. Great season. He definitely wants 100 points this year. But my only beef with this team right now, and it's head coach Lindy Ruff and his Monday morning quarterbacking, is when you have a player like Alexander Holtz who's played with Timo Meier and Nico Hischier for all of the preseason, and then you make that line change before game one, it's going to throw everybody off because they were building chemistry. I think all guys were understanding where they were going to play, what their role was on that line. And then you just break them apart, and then you wonder why certain guys are off to a slow start. So if that's my only really criticism right now. I think they can, you know, their goaltending could be a little bit better. Their defense always can be a little bit better.
I've seen a lot of soft goals the first couple games. I've seen a few where I think.
But then you've also seen Schmid and Vanacek keep them in games they shouldn't be even in.
It's true. I look at them in a very, I'm always looking for something to complain about. But watching their games, they've just been incredible. I mean, they're a fun team to watch. Jimmy, who's playing the wings on the PP1?
Toffoli's on one of them and Meyer's on the other. And Brat. Brat's there too.
I'm sorry. It was Brat that I was looking for. When they went, what'd they go, 4-for-5 against the Devils on the power play?
The Islanders?
Against the Islanders, yeah.
They went 4-for-4 on the power play.
He made two of the nicest passes from the bottom of the rink, left-hand side, face-off dot, just literally floated a puck over a player's stick twice, right onto Hughes's stick, and he buried one and the other one he hit the crossbar on. And I just looked at myself and said, fuck, this team is dangerous, man.
Yeah.
They are dangerous.
Travis Green's doing a hell of a job on that power play with that team. You know, you maybe thought with the loss of Andrew Burnett going down to Nashville, you thought, okay, maybe this team's not going to be as good power play. Man, this team is electric on the power play. If they can get everything together, clicking 5-on-5, look out. This team is very, very dangerous. New Jersey's a fun team to watch because Carolina's got goaltending problems. You know, look, the Devils got speed. Washington's an old team. Pittsburgh's an old team. They can't hang with the speed. The Islanders are what the Islanders are. Columbus and Philadelphia, I mean, you know, they're better teams. Nope. So there's no gimmies in this division.
There's no gimmies in this division, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I said it since the middle of the summer. I think you were shocked when I said it. The Rangers do not look like a playoff team, and the Devils look like a Stanley Cup contender.
100%.
It's unnerving for me to tell you. Watching the Rangers, I was super excited about Blake Wheeler. I was like, man, all he's got to do is snipe from the right-hand corner on a power play, sit there, shoot the puck. He's got an amazing shot. He's a great passer. Jesus Christ, it looks like he's skating in quicksand.
He looks like he's 38 or whatever age he is, 37, 38. He looks
47.
He definitely looks 47. Man, you got to be – but I got to ask you a question. You got to be impressed what Laviolette's done and giving these kids the time that they deserve on the top two lines.
Heedle, the other night against
– was it Seattle?
Seattle. He looked like every bit of a first-round draft choice should look. People forget he's only 23 years old.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fourth season, okay? He looked phenomenal. Now, the problem with Heedle, and he earns his nickname every year. And his nickname
Glass Heedle.
Glass Heedle, as I've been calling him, because you can't touch him. He breaks.
Yeah.
And the other night, him and Panarin put on a show. And Lafreniere, I gotta say this. Early on, he's not up to their level, but he's playing much better than he looked any time last year.
Confidence, baby. Confidence.
He buried two goals, and I don't think he was 5 feet combined away from the net when he scored both of them.
He looks so confident right now with the puck, even when he doesn't score. He's got a different level to his game that came out of the preseason. I know everybody's been knocking him in the preseason, but that first game against Buffalo, he scores. He's looked so much more confident with the puck. he's being put in the right position. He's playing power play. Even Kako looks so much more confident with the puck. But you're right. Hedo looks like Kako's the second line center.
The same thing. He doesn't shoot.
No, he doesn't shoot.
It's frustrating because he's really uber talented. And he's got great hands. He's physically filled out. And he won't shoot the puck.
No, he will not shoot the puck at all. He looks for the net, he looks for the assist when he needs to be shooting the puck.
Yeah, he does. He's got to be, you know, who's doing that this year too a little bit, and I've noticed that he's not firing on all cylinders yet, is Zibanejad.
Yeah.
Passed up a lot of shots on the power play where 2 years ago and last year, he's shooting first, passing second. He kind of is looking around a little bit more this year. When they grow into themselves, this power play is going to be really good.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is just an observation from me from the outside, but I think a lot of people know that the one-time shot's coming, so maybe he's trying to give them a different look before they go back to it.
I'll tell you who I feel sorry for right now. The kid who busted his ass out of training camp and made this team is Will Cooley.
Oh, dude, and Cooley looks so good.
He looks phenomenal. He could shoot the puck. I didn't realize he had a shot like that when he scored the other day. He can bury a puck. Problem is he's playing to the speed of Wheeler and Trocheck, and he's 6'2" and can move really good for a big man, and his line mates can't keep up with him.
No, and that's why I thought Brendan Hoffman should have made the team out of training camp.
You see Hoffman and Hartford beating people.
Oh, my God, dude. This kid, he's going to be up here. He's going to be with the Rangers quickly. Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. You get him, he gets his feet wet in the AHL, comes up, maybe takes Wheeler's spot. Look out.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then Cooley, because I think Cooley and Hoffman played together a lot in the preseason. Yes. So those two guys can keep the – get the speed of the line going, and then Trocheck could be in the high slot.
I absolutely agree.
Well, the one that was calling for Hedo to be the second line center, and you have Trocheck drop.
Right. And it's working.
It's working. 100% it's working. And then Kreider's just picking up goals within 5 inches of the crease. So
right. Yeah. But, you know, that's his job.
Right.
He scored 52 or 54 the other 2 years ago. 90% of his goals were tip-ins from 5 feet out.
Right, I think I was talking with somebody the other day. We're like, if he even scored, if you total all his goals, maybe it comes out to 100 feet. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. You're right. Jimmy, you're right. And you know what? But that's where the NHL is making money. That's where you make your money in this league.
Right.
If you could score. Now, look, DeBrincat. Let's jump to Detroit for a minute.
Dude, Detroit looks so good.
He's got 8 freaking goals. We were all over Detroit this summer, too. Both of us were saying Detroit's going to be good. You know what's disappointing right now? We both were real high on Buffalo, and they're playing like shit.
I mean, the problem is for me with Buffalo, though, I was the one that was always saying, look, defensively and goaltending, I don't know how much you could rely on two young guys to carry your team back there. I always felt like you needed a veteran guy. Like, Levi is great, all that stuff. But Uka Pekalukinen as well. I'm not sure you can
Who?
Uka Pekalukinen.
Yeah, I thought you were choking on something just now. I was like,
No. But look, Buffalo, yeah, very disappointing. You know, I think they're just playing too much of a speed game. Not playing great defensively in front of the goaltending. And again, young goalies. And I think there's a lot of expectations in that town. But Stevie Yzerman doing the plan right. I think it's like a 7-year rebuild in Detroit. You get DeBrincat there. You got Larkin. The Husso's looking great. And they're playing good defense, too, in front of him, right? They're playing – who would have thought Justin Hall, +9, in a clubhouse leader with a +-9?
You know what's a little upsetting this year about the NHL? The schedule.
Oh, awful. So awful.
The third night with less than 2 games in a row?
Yeah. Well, because tomorrow everybody's playing.
Yeah, but I get it. But you know what? I almost feel like the schedule is made not to go against the greatest wrestling company in the entire world, the Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that next show, not tonight.
No.
But no, I think honestly they try to avoid Monday Night Football.
They do. It's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league. It always has been.
It's just, you know what's funny, Jimmy? Growing up, the New York Rangers played, I would say, okay, 40 home games, because at the time it was a 80-game schedule.
Yeah.
I would say 40 home games, 20 of them were on Sunday nights at Madison Square Garden, 7 p.m.
That's a good time slot on a Sunday.
You know, and it's just weird. The league has changed. It's so much about money. We already got specialty games coming up on Sunday, Heritage Classics and stuff like that. Connor McDavid's hurt. He's questionable for the game.
He ain't playing. If I'm Edmonton, I tell him don't play, because you're just going to get hurt even more. Don't play in that game. Doesn't mean any. It means something in the standings, but it doesn't mean anything. Don't play in that game, because you could get hurt even more, as we saw with Crosby and guys going outside. Just don't play in it. But let Edmonton – see, here's the thing with Edmonton, before we get back to Detroit and Ottawa. Edmonton now can figure out how to play defense and not realize that McDavid's not jumping over the boards anymore to go save them when they're down 3-1. Like, yeah. You still have Draisaitl. Draisaitl's always put up points when McDavid's out of there, but now they can play defense in front of their goaltender, because their defense stinks too. Sucks, really. Sucks, yeah, is the right word.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Speaking of Edmonton, you're going to get my article tomorrow to put up for full press for me.
Absolutely.
But you want me to give away what it's about?
You know, you can tease it if you want.
It's called Barry Trotz Has All the Juice at the Trade Deadline.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I can't wait to edit this article for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting, because I took a deep dive, and the Juice is in the middle of a 5-year contract. He's under contract for not just this year, next year also. $5 million for a top 3 goalie in the league. Very manageable at the salary cap, a $5 million contract.
Especially if it goes up.
But even this year?
Oh, still manageable.
It's under $1.5 million at the cap, which is chump change for a team like Edmonton, because they can just carry in the minors. And if they cut Campbell, but the point I was getting at, you said rebuild. I love what Barry Trotz is doing.
Oh, here. Love it, what the Preds are doing. Love this team.
They're competitive in every game.
Yeah.
They're physically big. Mm-hmm. They're hitting everything.
Yep.
And they're getting the leadership from their older guys who are carrying these younger guys. And I absolutely love what they're doing. I'm going to pull their stats up for a minute.
But I love their coach too. Andrew, Bruno, I mean, that's a great hire. That's just an unbelievable hire.
All right, did you see the goal the other day? Luke Evangelista scored on the breakaway where he broke his stick.
Beautiful goal. Beautiful.
That kid is going to be so sought after. They're lucky they wrapped him up, because I saw him last year at the end of the year come up, and I was praying they didn't dump this kid for something. He is going to be a superstar this week. Tommy Novak is having a great year.
Novak's great. O'Reilly, great pickup by them as well.
And O'Reilly's really become a big member of the community already. He's jumped in with the Junior Preds, and he's doing fundraising. That event I went to with Brett Hull and Kelly Chase was, Jimmy, I wish you could have been there. It was just off the hook fun.
Was Hulley and Chaser gone? Were they in the bag?
They were drinking double shots of Jameson the whole time.
Oh my God!
And it was pretty funny. It was absolutely amazing. We'll get into that in a little while. I'll tell you some of the stories.
They just picked Liam Foodie off of waivers. That's a great pickup by them. Cody Glass is there as well. Philip Forsberg's doing Philip Forsberg things. By the way, Taco Tuesday tomorrow, Philip Forsberg scores a goal. You know what happens. I love the addition of Gus Nyquist. You know, Philip Tomasino. Yeah, and then on the back end, Barry, Carrier, Dante Fabro, Yossi. I mean, McDonough. This team is built the right way by Barry Trotz bringing in the right character guys.
Luke Shen is going to pay big dividends for this team when it comes down to people taking a run at Evangelista or trying to take liberties on Forsberg. He's not what you would call a prototypical NHL tough guy.
No.
That guy will go with anybody in the league and still be able to take a regular shift. That's so important nowadays. Look at Milan Lucic back in Boston, right? Boston's 5-0. People were picking him not to win a freaking game in the first month of the season. They were supposed to suck this and that. Luch is fit right back in.
Yep.
They're using him the right way. They're not overplaying him. They're putting him up in front of the net. He's getting his chances, and he's getting off the ice. And nobody will take a liberty with a Boston Bruin with Milan Lucic. And you see the fake tough guy Ryan Reeves, right?
Yep.
He comes out fighting all the time in Toronto this year. I love it. But Wi-Fi put him on his ass. Did you see that?
I did. That was crazy.
He didn't get up doing this, you know, doing that after that fight, right?
No, he did not. Look, I mean, look, what Reeves brought to the Leafs is, you know, just something different, a culture change, because they needed it, especially off the ice and in the room. And that's what he does. He's not going to do anything special. He's just what Revo is, what he was for the Rangers, what he was for Pittsburgh, what he was for Vegas. You know, that's who he is. He's not, you know, he's not going to bring you 40 goals.
He's the lighthearted guy.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Leafs were too uptight. Let's be honest. The Leafs were too uptight.
Jimmy, you're old enough to know this, right?
Yep.
Ryan Reeves, in the early 2000s, late 90s, anytime in the 80s, isn't even considered a tough guy in this league.
No.
His showmanship pisses me off. He had two fights as a Ranger in 2 years. People don't realize Lafreniere had more fights than Ryan Reeves did as a Ranger. And I think somebody lit his ass on fire. I think it was John Scott in John Scott's interview with him, where he just basically said, you're not enforcing, you're not fighting. And he came out with a bug up his ass, and he got into a couple good scraps early on. I love Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
A team like the New Jersey Devils could secure that guy at the trade deadline, give Montreal some prospects, maybe send him foot or something like that. That kid is top three fighter in the NHL right now who could take a regular shift. And I wouldn't fuck with that kid for all the money in the world.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that kid's unbelievable. And he's got a shot, too. That guy's got a shot, man. 99 miles per hour.
99 problems, and the puck ain't one.
Nope.
He can put a team. That's a guy who put a team over the edge. And you know what? Especially a team like the Devils. And I keep telling the Devils, because I don't think the Rangers are going to be in the playoffs. But I really think a team like the Devils – picking up, they have to get a little bit more toughness for the
stretch. I agree. I 100% agree with that.
Toffoli was a great pickup. But that's it. Who else on that team is going to?
They got Bastion down low, McLeod, but that's bottom six guys. Lazar's there, but they don't really have like that Lucic type player that can really bang somebody around. Ball's thrown his weight a little bit on the back end, but. Again, do they have that up front?
I thought in the Islander game, my number one hated player in the NHL right now is Matt Martin. He's been that way for years with me. I can't stand. There is no faker tough guy in the National Hockey League than Matt Martin. And him going after Timo Meier at the end of the game just proves that he's a punk. And that's the type of thing I want to see them not get sucked into this year. Meier is a concussion away from not being able to play in this league anymore.
Right.
You got a guy who's taking fourth line minutes. He's 37,000 years old. He's an Islander, which makes him instantaneously a piece of shit. And he married Boomer Esiason, another piece of shit's daughter. Not his daughter. His daughter might be a nice person, but Boomer's a horrible human being. And I don't like Matt Martin at all.
No, the Islanders, look, I don't know what they were doing in overtime either to give Jack Hughes that much space. I know they thought maybe he was going to circle back and – you know, maybe make a pass or something, but he just goes
in defense, Jim.
Yeah, they didn't. They let him walk right in, bang in the net, game over. Bye. Everybody's going home. And look, even Bitch Goring even said it on the Islanders post game. He's like, I don't understand how you give Jack Hughes that much space to work and operate. And it's like with the Detroit power play, you can't go on the power. You can't take a penalty against Detroit right now. They're just too lethal. Saw in a game one with New Jersey. You know, they scored two power play goals there. DeBrincat had two in that game. That Detroit team is really good right now.
Yeah, Detroit, like you said, Detroit, sorry, somebody messaged me. I want to just make sure it's not one of the guys I invited on from the we have a couple of former NHL players that are going to join us in the next couple of weeks. Kent Carlson from the Montreal Canadiens and St. Louis Blues. Dwight Schoenfield from St. Louis Blues and Washington Capitals are going to come on. I'm going to send an invite out to Chris Kostopoulos and Kevin Kaminsky, who is absolutely just one of the greatest guys in the world. And then we're going to talk some puck with some guys. I talked to Kelly Chase about coming on. He might not remember that conversation.
No, he probably did not remember that conversation.
He was a funny guy, man. Him and Brett Hull have a love. You know, I say this sometimes, and I wish that someone in my life loves me as much as Kelly Chase loves Brett Hull.
Oh, my God. Those two love each other.
They love each other. And when he told the story about the trade, did you hear that story about the trade, Jimmy?
Oh, when he went to what, Dallas?
No, Brett Hull. There's a game, and they're playing Detroit, and they're beating Detroit like 7-1.
Yeah.
And Chase had never gotten a shift the whole game.
Right.
So, Bob Berry was the coach. Buried him on the bench. Didn't give him a shift the whole game.
Oh, the Mike Babcock situation.
Yeah, exactly. 3 seconds left in the game. Detroit puts out Probert, Kosick, Gallant, and Zombo and somebody else. And he taps Chase on the back and says, go. And Kelly Chase turned around and said, I'm not fucking going out there. I can't feel my legs. My feet are numb. I'm not going out there. They get an argument on the bench, and Kelly Chase storms back into the locker room. There's a line brawl. Big fight breaks out. Bob Berry comes in, and he says he's just steaming, and he knows he can't do what he's going to do, but he flips out. He starts yelling at Kelly Chase, and Kelly Chase picks up his skate, throws it across the room, misses Berry's head by about an inch, and it sticks in the wall like a ninja star.
Holy crap.
Berry takes off, gets out of the room, and they calm down Chase. He changes his clothes, and he leaves. Next day is the trade deadline. He's out in the golf course with Brett Hull playing golf, and all he keeps doing is looking at his beeper. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, they're going to trade me, Brett. You know, I know I'm going. And he's like, no, you're not getting traded. And he's like, no, I'm going to get traded. And he's like, they fucking hate me here. You know, I don't want to play here anymore because of what he's trying to make me be, you know, just a one-shift enforcer goon. I want to play hockey. And, you know, I threw a skate at him. And, you know, the whole story goes on. And he kept saying to Brett, he kept looking at his beeper. And he's like, I hope to God I don't have to go to fucking Canada. I don't want to play in Canada. Sure enough, they get to the clubhouse on the turn at 9, and there's a message for him to call the St. Louis Blues assistant GM immediately.
Yeah, of course.
He's been traded to the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, fudge.
So what makes the story funny is he goes outside and tells Brett Hull, hey, I got to go. They traded me to Montreal, and I got to get to the arena and pick up my airline tickets. There's a game tomorrow in Montreal I got to be at. Brett Hull's like, 20 beers in, Chase said, they're not trading you. You're not going nowhere. Long story short, he drives all the way back into the heart of St. Louis to the practice rink. He goes inside, and the GM says, I need to see you. And he says, Karan was the general manager.
Yeah.
French Canadian. You don't have to worry. You're not traded. And he says, what do you mean? He says, Guy Lafleur. Brett Hull. He tell me, if you go play Montreal, he goes to Montreal too. You trade you, I have to trade him or he quit. So he literally called the St. Louis Blues and said, if you trade Kelly Chase, you better get me the fuck out of here and put me with him because I'm not playing without him on my team. So he called up Montreal. He knew the general manager at the time, Montreal. They had played together on the Dynasty team in the 70s. They canceled the trade. He drives all the way back to the golf course. There's Brett waiting for him, laughing. He's got a 20-pack under his arm. And he goes, come on, drive me home. There's no way you were going. I told you you're not getting traded. And he just literally almost got into tears saying how much that meant to him in his life, that somebody cared about him so much that he just wouldn't let him have his career taken away from him playing in St. Louis. And then there was another story where Brett Hull stole Karan's Jaguar. Just went in the office. They needed a car. They both took a taxi to the game. Usually, Chase picked him up and they drove.
Yeah.
So they both took taxis to the game. And he went in the office and didn't tell Chase that he just picked the keys up off the desk and took Karan's Jaguar. So they go to a strip club in the middle of East St. Louis. I don't know if you've ever been to St. Louis.
It's not good.
It's not a good area. And East St. Louis, for you guys down here, it's like being in Memphis. In New York City, it's like being in Harlem in the 70s. It's a bad freaking area. They drink their faces off at the strip club. 3 o'clock, they go outside, and Brett Hull goes, I can't drive, you drive. And he throws the keys to Chase, and Chase puts the key in the door, and the idiot turns it the wrong way and snaps the key off. It's now 3 o'clock in the morning at the worst area of town in all of St. Louis, and they try calling locksmiths.
Oh, no.
To that area, because they're just like, no way, man, no way, man. So now the strip club is coming out. And there's like 15, 20 people outside, and they're like, what are you doing? You know, why is Brett Hull outside? So they start talking. The next thing you know, they lit a fire barrel because this is in the middle of January, St. Louis.
Oh, my God.
20 people around a fire barrel. He says it's right out of the movie Rocky. They're all singing songs and everything.
Oh, my God.
Finally get convinced that somebody can take a tow truck. They call a cab, and he tells everybody, meet me at the diner. I'm buying breakfast. And he said it's not like a diner anywhere else. In St. Louis, they're only like five-seat stools at the counter, but they're open 24 hours a day. Most people get the food to go. Brett Hall walks in with like 30 strippers, drug dealers, homeless people, Kelly Chase, and he's just like, that guy gets eggs. Give that one pancakes. Brett Hall's buying. So now it's 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. They're all eating. Practice is at 9. He looks at Kelly Chase and goes, I ain't fucking going home. Just let's go to the rink. Tells all the people that are with him, all 30 people, come to the rink. I'm going to sign some sticks and some jerseys for you.
Oh, my God.
They sneak in the rink. They run past security because they're still in the same clothes as the day before. And Kelly Chase runs right to the locker room because he's like, if they see me in the same clothes, they're going to know something's up and I'm going to get in trouble with Barry. He just didn't trade me the whole nine yards. So he rips his suit off and he's getting into his old Long John underwear. And Karan and Barry see Brett Hull and they're like, oh, all night long, huh? And he was like, no, not me. Kelly Chase, he kept me out all night. He wouldn't drive me home.
Oh, my God.
They go in, they start yelling at Chase. He gets dressed. He's like, I didn't do anything. This fucking guy, I can't get him to the home. What do you want me to do, leave him in St. Louis? So they go out to start skating, and it's all along the glass on one side of the ice. So all these homeless people, strippers, everybody against the glass, and they're all chanting, we want sticks. We want sticks. And so Kelly Chase goes, it was morning stretch. He goes to the opposite side of the rink to stretch all the way away from these people because he's still trying to play it off that he wasn't out. So, and then all of a sudden they see him at the other side and they're chanting, we want Kelly. We want Kelly. And they just put his head down and he's like, I knew from that moment I was fucked. He got scratched that night. Brett Hull scored 4 goals.
Of course he did.
So that just the stories were just like that. They talked about a story how Captain America, because Brett Hull played for the U.S.
Yeah.
He denounced his Canadian citizenship.
96, baby.
Best hockey ever played.
Oh, dude, World Cup of Hockey in 1996, so good.
2 games I went to, Garden and Philadelphia, greatest experience of my life.
Oh, better those than games
the Rangers winning the Cup.
Dude, those games were great. Those games in 96 were awesome.
So they built up this whole thing about Wah versus Hull. Superman versus the Hulk, who's going to win? And Wah told the newspaper, there's no chance. There's no chance. I know all his moves. I know everything. We are going to win tonight. Brett Hull said no comment. He said, I'm just not that guy. I don't want to, I'm not. And he's never been. Hull's never been bragged. First period, scored 4 goals on 4 shots.
Yeah.
Rest of the game, wouldn't shoot the puck. So he had this thing where once he scores 3 goals, he doesn't want to ever score again. He doesn't. He said, if you ever watch any of his games, all 20-something of his hat tricks, he probably never took another shot on goal the rest of the game because he doesn't want to embarrass the other goalie. And the 4th one hit his leg and went in. That's how he got 4. And it was just really like telling about what a human being he is. You know, the whole thing, you know, he's a drunk. He's crazy.
No, yeah, he's crazy.
His father, how cheap his dad was. They played in Chicago with the Blues, and they picked his dad up to go after a game. And him and his dad and Kelly went out and got drunk till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
They had to go to the hotel. And while they were going up, he was like, they wanted to go get something to eat, but the only restaurant was closed. So they went to the hotel. And he told the elevator operator, stop on 1, 3, and 5. And they were like, what are you doing? And they said, every time he opened the door, he would go for a walk and he'd come back with somebody else's half-eaten food, like French fries, slice of pizza. And this is, and Kelly Chase, you got to hear him in his big fat face. Kelly's got this face bigger than mine. And he's like, I'm with Brett Hull's dad, Bobby fucking Hull. And he's eating spit out fucking garbage food in an elevator at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning. And I got to sit there and be like, Bobby, we got room service. We got a per diem for this shit. Fuck you, kid. You don't spend money on food when people are throwing it away.
Oh, my God.
You got to see. If they do it again, you got to come down for it, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely do. No, for sure. I mean, these stories are legendary. Like, you hear about all these stories when you talk to the old guys, the old-timers that are out there. Like, when I talk with Mark Wells, 1980 Olympic team, like, he's talking about how they're partying. They're partying, practices, Herb Brooks, what he was doing on the rink. Like, these guys are just It's just those stories are just legendary.
When you get a day, one day, Jimmy, bring your photo on and put it on the
air. Oh, absolutely. I will.
That is the greatest piece of sports memorabilia I've ever seen in my life.
I love that piece. It's one of my favorite.
It's top three I've ever seen. And I would love to own, you know, like that's a jealousy piece for me. That's insane.
I know you've praised it a lot of times. I know you really praised that piece that I have.
No, it's beautiful, man. For those, tell them what you have.
So for those that don't know, I have the 1980 USA Miracle on Ice team signed 16 by 20. All the players, coach, the assistant coaches, Al Michaels is on there too. This says, do you believe in miracles? Some people are like, oh, why would you put that on there? I was like, why not? Make it unique. Like, just
and
because
if I'm not mistaken, you have the backup goalie who passed away, the first player that passed away on that team. That he's on there.
Oh, Ryan Suter's dad's on there, yeah.
No, but the goalie.
Steve Janacek.
Janacek passed away very early in life.
No, he didn't. Because I've met him in Purdue. No, I met him in person.
Yeah, but when? I'm saying you have him on there.
Yeah, I got him in like 20... I want to say like 2016 I got it.
I got to look and see who passed away from that team.
Suter passed away and Pavlich passed away. Those are the only two guys that passed away.
My Mark Pavlich is my man.
Those are the only two guys that died, as far as I know. I don't think Janacek passed away.
It must have been Suter I was thinking of.
Yeah, Suter, not Janny. Janny's still alive. I think he's out in Long Island somewhere.
That team, Davey Silk, man, Robbie.
Oh, McMahon, that team was disgusting.
A lot of guys went on to have decent NHL careers.
Neil Broughton won a Stanley Cup.
Hey, name the guy who went from the NHL, went to the NHL in the same season, won the Stanley Cup.
Ken Morrow.
Yeah.
Won a gold medal, gold medal, national championship, and Stanley Cup all in the same year.
Yep. That's amazing, huh?
And he won three more after that, too.
And then he broke my heart in 84, that piece of shit with the game five double overtime goal through Glenn Hanlon's legs.
Yeah.
And he threw the puck at the net from the right point, and it went through four people and then Hanlon and the Islanders.
Dude, that Islanders team was crazy. I mean, but like we were saying earlier with like Detroit and everything, man, that team is loaded. I mean, Larkin, DeBrincat, their goaltending is really good. You know, you could look at it. Like, the Leafs have really not impressed me, though. Matthew Nyes had a great game Saturday. Seattle's taking a little bit of a step back. Boston's look really good. They've looked really good. I mean, Matthew Patra, two goals against Anaheim. They're looking really solid. Tampa's defense is not good, and Vasilevsky's injury is huge for that team right now.
Boston is looking great, like we covered a little bit earlier. We covered the Rangers. We covered the Islanders a little bit. We did a nice little section on the Devils. What other team is surprising you right now? Who's off to a start that you didn't expect to have that kind of a start?
You know, I'm going to throw two teams out here for you. How about Philadelphia and Arizona?
Philadelphia was my pick, I was going to say.
Okay.
Philadelphia is winning hockey games, and Arizona is in. Arizona plays a physical freaking game of hockey, man. They are big, they're fast, and you know what? They're a little bit ahead of their rebuild, I think, in my opinion.
I think so.
I think they're doing really well, and they got that rookie. Hold on a minute. Let me pull up his name because I'm going to
Cooley. Cooley. Spelled differently.
Yeah.
Logan and Cooley.
He's a big – there's a lot of ass in the NHL this year. You notice that?
Yeah, there is. I mean,
Cooley's running around.
Well, you got – well, Clayton Keller's on that team. Schmaltz, they got a tough injury with Zucker going down, but Durzi's playing well. And then obviously their goaltender, Vemelka, who's just – I mean, that guy could steal games, maybe gets traded. Who knows? I doubt it, though. But then you got Matias Michelli on the team as well. Love that player. And Arizona's going to be fighting for games. Like, they're not going to be a pushover anymore. Like,
league's a pushover, Jimmy.
San Jose might be the only pushover in this team.
The league this year. Predators kicked the shit out of the Rangers. There was no denying that they own them.
I think Nashville's averaging three goals a game this season so far.
That's
the difference in the coach. Barry Trotz gets the right guys in there. We've talked about it. Like, he wanted character guys in that room. Like, the Duchesnes, Johansson's bye. We don't want you around here. We want to play the young kids like they did last year. And this is the team you saw at the end of last year.
Jimmy, Here's an interesting thing. Do you remember at one time there was people debating if Kako was going to be taken over use with the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I remember that debate. Yep.
Was that the biggest scam ever? Like, was that just perpetrated by somebody to try to make Ranger fans feel hopeful?
No, because at the time, the way Kako was playing for Finland and what he was doing and what Jack was doing, you could see that you could make the case that Kako could have gone one because of what he was doing, but the Devils weren't picking him. Jack Hughes was always going to be a Devil.
I just feel the Rangers regime at that time went so European heavy,
yes,
trying to find the next Russian or Finnish superstar, and didn't realize the game was changing back to an edge of a North American style with speed.
Yeah.
The Rangers with the Anderson pick, the Rangers with the Hedel pick, the Rangers with the Kako pick, and all guys from that draft have just gone on to surpass all of these guys.
Yeah, all 100%.
You know, my boy Tkachuk, 6 goals already this season up in Ottawa.
Dude, Brady Tkachuk, what a monster up there.
He's a beast. The guy's got, you know, I can't say it. It's politically incorrect for me to say the R word, strength, now. You know, back in the day, we used to be able to say that guy had ERP strength.
Yeah.
He's a madman, bro. He's tackling two or three guys, taking them down to the ice, pummeling people, getting up, scoring goals, hitting like a truck. Him and his brother are going to kill each other one day.
Oh, they 100% are. But the problem is they're not allowed to fight because mom said so. So
yeah, well, Primo's mother said so too.
Yeah, and then those two guys went at it. But I think because mom watches all the games, I think they don't want to fight. But Walt's going, by the way, Walt Tkachuk going into the St. Louis Blues Hockey Hall of Fame. So good for Walt. But, you know, with Stutzel, Tkachuk, Giroux's up there. You know, that team is really good. Good to see Josh Norris back.
Yeah, so Norris, that, God bless, he's healthy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So it's going to be good to see, you know, what this Ottawa team is made of. Hopefully they get Pinto signed soon, get him back in there. That team's really, really going to be – is a really good team.
You picked them to be really good this year. You were all over them early.
I like the way they're built. DJ Smith doing a good job. Pierre Dorion just backed himself into a corner. He's just made the mess with Pinto. Maybe they can get rid of Kubalik, as that was part of the DeBrincat trade, so you can free up some money there. Because I don't think you can really move anybody else. You don't want to move anybody else like Joseph or Brännström because there's really nobody else you can replace them with. So I think Ottawa will be fine. I mean, they just got a wake-up lesson. Like, to me, that turning point of that game on Saturday, I hate it because Ridly Greig made a great hit on DeBrincat, and the referee calls roughing. It's like, come on, man. You got to let these guys play a little bit.
No, you do. You have to let them play. How about our boy, William, I would love to be a Ranger Nylander.
Willie will.
9 points. We have a nice little walking interview with him from the draft. I have to say, give major props to him. Great guy. 9 points, bro. And this is a guy they keep saying they want to get rid of. They keep saying they want to get rid of him.
Well, they say they want to get rid of him. From people I've talked to, I think he'll stay. You get an 8-year deal, maybe 9.5, maybe 10. I think that's where – I think that you can get the money, especially if the cap goes up. I think they can get him to stay. He really wants to stay in Toronto.
Cap jumping $4 million is going to make a huge difference.
Right, and I think the problem is I don't think they can find a guy that can replace Nylander because the guy always shows up in the playoffs. He's been their best player along with Tavares to start the year.
I agree.
Like, let's be honest. Like, if it isn't for those two guys, Toronto's not where they are. You know, Washington looks old. Washington's an old team. They look real old.
Did you see that piece of crap Tom Wilson again? Sucker and a Swede.
Come on, this guy.
You know, enough with this fucking guy already. And I'm sorry I curse, guys, but he's so frustrating. I've watched him for years. He's another guy that... Yeah, you know what's funny? Rangers go out and get Ryan Reeves. The night that Wilson was playing the first night, he didn't come within 30 feet of Reeves at Madison.
No, he did not.
And, you know, he makes a habit of, you know, Kelly Chase said the other day there's no such thing as a code, but I don't believe that because I've talked to 100 guys in this league that have had a million fights, and they all say the same thing. You don't go after a guy who's half your size. It doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't do, no.
And if you get knocked out, you look like the biggest ass in the league.
Yeah.
This guy makes a living. And it's not even intimidation. Intimidation to me is washing somebody's face, throwing a monster hit and standing over the guy and talking, or just saying to the team what Kelly Chase said all the time in this thing, this show the other day. Three or four times, Darian Hatcher was cross-checking Brett Hull in the back really bad, beating him up. One put Brett down on his knees, and he had to go and get treatment in between periods, and he went up to Hatcher, and he skated right by the bench, and he said, "I'll fucking kill Zubov. Next shift, you put one stick on Hull the rest of this game, I will kill Zubov, and that's it. I'm not even going to challenge him. I'm going to drop him." And that's intimidation. Sometimes you don't have to drop your gloves. You just have to make a point.
Send a message.
And, you know, or be like me at IHA in Wellington and chase a guy into a parking lot and smash a goalie stick over his T-top to try to pull his wife and him out to beat him up. That's intimidation. Ask Dennis about that story.
I will. Off the air.
Off the air. No, you can put it on the air. It's okay. I know you got to wrap this up. You got to get going. Your girl's going to stab you.
No, well, it's crazy, but no, I just love talking hockey because it's, you know, it's the greatest sport. It's the coolest
pick
game tonight. On earth.
When are we back? You pick.
Pick
Let's
what?
Do Wednesday because we got a full slate of games tomorrow night. We could talk about on Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday I will be at the Devil Washington game, so I won't be home until like 11:30.
Give me a live remote from the game.
I'll do my best to do a live remote from the press box. Hopefully the Wi-Fi doesn't go out. But I was going to say, if you want to go back tomorrow night, talk some more football, some NHL as well.
Why don't we do – you cover the Devil game, I'll cover the Ranger game, and we'll pick it up at the second period of both games, and we'll go live and do our little watch-the-game commentary as we're watching it.
I like that. And just to wrap this thing up, if you look at it, right, you go through the standings, you have Dallas is there, you know, Nashville sitting in a wild card. Oh, before we get out of here, Rasmus Anderson, you're an idiot, dude. What are you doing with 3 seconds left in a hockey game? Like, that is just stupid. Like, that is dumb. Just take your suspension and go home. Like, I know you want to play in the outdoor game. This is your punishment because there's no reason to hit Patrick Laine like that with 3 seconds left in a hockey game.
Yeah, yeah. It's borderline. But here, let me ask you one question.
Yep.
Does he do that if Columbus has a Wi-Fi, a Ryan Reeves – or, you know, McDermott, somebody he would have had an answer to, do you think he still takes that liberty?
Probably not. I don't know if he does it with 3 seconds in the game, though. That's the issue I have with the hit. There's 3 seconds left in the game. It's over. It's done with. And you take a run at Patrick Laine.
Part of the game.
Not that hit is not part of the game. No way. No way.
We're going to argue about this, Jim.
I'm just saying, you know, for me, you don't do that with 3 seconds left.
Jimmy, when you play hockey, you score goals.
Yeah, I score goals.
You're a finesse guy. You're really fast. I've seen you play, right?
Skilled and finesse.
I'm not.
No.
I'm a bully. I'm an intimidator. I would try to run you through the fucking boards and break your back, right?
During the game, that's fine. With 3 seconds left, it's not okay.
Let me say something. If your team has nobody to combat me, I'm going to do it all game long.
I know
but
that.
If you have a guy, a prick like me, then I got to think twice. Like, if I run Jimmy, right, does Jimmy run my daughter, Ricky Lynn, through the glass? There's repercussions. There's actions and reactions. I'm trying to figure out the right way to say it, but
there's consequences for every action. There's a reaction. Yeah.
Dirty is always going to be dirty. It was a dirty hit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disagreeing whatsoever with you. But if you had somebody to combat that, and now the next time they play, that person can go like Kelly Chase said, skate by the bench and say, so-and-so is dead. I'm going to kill him tonight.
Well, we saw that. We saw that when Colorado played Seattle. Good on Jordan Eberle for taking a fight with Logan O'Connor. Everybody knew what happened in the playoffs. He's going to answer for it. He took his lumps. He got his ass kicked, but he took the fight.
100%, nothing but respect.
But he took the fight. He knew he was going to get his ass kicked, but you know what? You take the fight.
Yep, I agree. My dad is the toughest man I've ever seen in my entire life, Jim. My dad is 78 years old. That son of a bitch hits me in the arms now, my fucking arm goes numb for 20 minutes. My dad always used to have this saying, because I used to get mad, like if a Ranger lost a fight, Eddie Hospiro with his jaw broken.
Yeah,
Achilles. But my dad would always look at me and say, Rick, It's not win or lose in hockey. It's if you have the balls to show up.
Right.
Because the minute you're labeled as not having the balls to show up, everybody in the league spreads that word real fast and intimidation becomes on hard. But we're gonna wrap this up because I can go on for hours about this subject. I know you got to go. Let's tomorrow night we're going to do a live broadcast of these two games, and we're going to have some fun.
Absolutely. I can't wait to have some fun tomorrow night. I will text you when I get home because I got to ref two games before I get back for the Devil game because, you know, Dennis needs help always. But this has been All in One Sports Hockey Talk. We'll be back again Tuesday night with more hockey talk and Taco some Tuesday. Other sports. Hey, remember, Phil Forsberg scores his Taco Tuesday. Just
guys,
remember that.
Jimmy's guaranteeing a goal by Forsberg tomorrow. Go in, throw $5 on it. If you win, thank Jimmy. If you lose, the hell will you eat a taco?
Yeah, just go eat a taco anyway. But I'm telling you, Forsberg, Taco Tuesday always happens. Also, bank on Jack Hughes scoring a couple goals just because.
Listen to Jimmy.
I'm just saying. I'm learning from the best over here. You know, I got to throw in some stuff, you know.
Hey,
you know, have to make it a little
more.
Montreal.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Devils in the over. Hughes, bet him for over 2.5 points.
I like that. I like that play a lot.
Montreal won big tonight against Buffalo.
Yep.
Total end-to-end game. Their goalie stole the game for them tonight. Allen stole the game. Not going to have fresh legs tomorrow. Bet the Devils tomorrow. Hughes over 2.5 points.
I love it.
Guys, tonight, All in One Sports, Full Press Hockey. My article coming to Jimmy tomorrow, probably hit the webpage by Friday. Let's have some fun tomorrow. God bless you all. Jimmy, take us home.
Hey, guys, it's been All in One Sports, the NHL Hockey Edition here tonight. Jimmy B, Ricky O, you saw the title. We had some fun. We had some laughs. Great stories. Breaking it down for you. It's still early, but it's going to get early late for some of these teams. So they better turn it around soon. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's a loaded schedule. 16 games, 32 teams in action. We'll be here talking more hockey with you and throwing a little bit of sports as well before we get to the wrestling talk on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the night. Enjoy the games tomorrow. We'll be back again real soon.